Reading Psalm 34 from the Message. I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with God's praise. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. God met me more than halfway. God freed me from my anxious fears. Look at God. Give your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from God. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angels set up a circle of protection around us while we pray. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to God. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all God's goodness. Young lions on the prowl get hungry, but God seekers are full of God. Come, children, listen closely. I'll give you a lesson in God worship. Who out there has a lust for life? Can't wait each day to come upon beauty. Guard your tongue from profanity and no more lying through your teeth. Turn your back on sin. Do something good. Embrace peace. Don't let it get away. God keeps an eye on the faithful. God's ears pick up every moan and groan. God won't put up with rebels, but will cull them from the pack. Is anyone crying for help? God is listening, ready to rescue you. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, God will help you catch your breath. Disciples so often get into trouble. Still, God is there every time. God's your bodyguard, shielding every bone. Not even a finger gets broken. The wicked commit slow suicide. They waste their lives hating the good. God pays for each slave's freedom. No one who runs to God loses out.
On Thursday, I dropped Shanda, Ollie, and Rue off at the airport, in case you're wondering why it's a little quieter up here today, so that they could enjoy the fresh Minnesota air for the summer. Minnesota, with all due respect to the many natural wonders we've seen in Oregon, there's no air fresher to me than the air that sweeps up off those 10,000 lakes and filters through those rolling forests. Once, a couple of summers ago, when Ollie was 2, we took him on a drive through a nature reserve there. He was excited to see a bear, he told us. As he chattered on and on along the drive to the reserve, we laughed at his naive optimism. Right up until we turned the first corner, and there on the road in front of our car was a bear. I don't know who was more excited about it, Ollie, who expected this the whole time, or us, who thought there was no way this would happen. We yanked him out of his car seat in the back and put him up seat on the front seat on Shanda's lap, where he peered through the safety of the windshield at what was to him the coolest teddy bear he'd ever seen. Thankfully, he didn't ask if we could take this one home. A little while later, we pulled up on a dirt road beside a remote lake. And there, right above us, where we could see perfectly from the windows, was a bald eagle, also closer than I've ever been to one of those. Ollie and all of us oohed and awed as the eagle put on a performance for us, flying majestically to and from the tree again and again, like it knew we were there watching and it was putting on a show for us. Go America, right? Then the eagle left majestically off into the distance, and maybe even Ollie, spotted something on the ground under the tree. Ollie and I got out and walked over. I don't remember if we checked for bears first. And there on the ground was a single solitary eagle feather. "He gave us his feather," Ollie exclaimed. And then seconds later, as we pulled away from the tree with all our windows wide and the fresh Minnesota air filling up our car and our lungs, Ollie whispered reverentially out the window and up into the sky, "Thank you, seagull." This, my friends, is summer as it's supposed to be, isn't it? Lakes and trees and bears and bald eagles and family trips and fresh air and breathing easy. It's moments like this that the Psalms of Praise echo my joy like nothing else. I could easily have gushed with today's psalm on that day. "I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with praise. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading this good news. Together, let's get the word out. Look at God. Give your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from God. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Come, children, listen closely. Is anyone crying for help? God's listening, ready to rescue you. God is there every time." Now, after dropping my family off at the airport this week, well, I may have stayed back here in Oregon to work on worship services, a memorial service, a wedding, prepare for my trip to convention. I'm also not going to pretend that having no parental responsibilities for a little while doesn't leave one breathing a little easier in its own way, too. So after I dropped my family off at the airport on Thursday so they could begin their summer adventure, I stopped at one of my favorite restaurants in Portland to grab a quiet bite to eat. It's funny how something like eating alone in a restaurant is glamorous once you have young children. And yet, while breathing easy and waiting for my meal, with no family member present to make me feel guilty about it, I made the mistake of checking my phone. There it was. Another reminder that there are children the same age as mine having a very different summer on our southern border. Summer that doesn't include falling asleep with their beloved Pluto stuffy while listening to their favorite bedtime podcast about Winnipeg, the foreign city they can confidently expect to cross a border through and visit their grandparents at safely. A summer instead where the favorite pajamas they might have been wearing. Have become like a filthy second skin. One soiled from the inside because their recently learned potty training has been undone by fear. Soiled from the outside by runny noses and tears. The tears. Can you imagine the tears your own children would shed if they were separated from you that young? As I read these stories, just having sent my own children off with their mother to breathe fresh air, having sat down to enjoy myself in the beginning of summer and breathe easy, I could barely breathe at all. Sitting there alone in a busy restaurant, I fought tears and I lost the battle. I lost the battle with my tears, and I lost the battle with the summer of breathing easy that I had planned for myself. In fact, I didn't know it yet, but I also lost the battle with the sermon I'd been writing for today that was probably going to breathe a little easier than this one is. I found myself instead gasping for fresh air, like those children in that detention center desperately looking for an emergency exit and finding none. The next morning, overwhelmed with sadness and cynicism about whether anything I could do could make a difference, I reached out for the Psalms again, remembering having read Psalm 12 as I prepared for this summer series. And here's what it said to me. Here's what it said for me, actually. "Please help me, Lord. All who were faithful and all who were loyal have disappeared. Everyone tells lies and no one is sincere. Won't you chop off flattering tongues that brag so loudly? They say to themselves, 'We're great speakers. No one else has a chance.' But you, Lord, tell them, I will do something. The poor are mistreated and the helpless people moan. I'll rescue all who suffer. Our Lord, you are true to your promises, and your word is like silver heated seven times in a fiery furnace, so protect us. Keep people safe. All who are wicked, keep on strutting while everyone praises their shameless deeds. Please help me, Lord. The lies are winning. The helpless moan. Lord, tell them you will do something. Lord, you are true to your promises. Lord, you are true to your promises. Tell us you will do something. The Psalms, my friends, know our deepest joys, but also our deepest horrors. They exalt with us in joy, and they scream with us in terror. And when needed, they demand with us that God get out there and live up to God's reputation when the world seems nothing like what the Bible tells us it should be. You know, based on the way we sometimes use the Psalms these days, I might have been inclined to call our summer series Breathing Easy, a summer with the Psalms. I'd be inclined to do that because we so often cherry-pick from the Psalms. We cherry-pick, Lord, you've searched me and you know me. But we rarely continue all the way to the end of that psalm where it says, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. We pray by the rivers of Babylon. We remembered Zion, but we often, almost always, omit the raging ending, which reveals that this psalm is being spoken by one whose children have surely been abused by Babylon, who spills out to God their most honest but a deeply uncomfortable parental reaction. Happy shall they be who take your little ones, Babylon, and dash them against the rocks. And even in today's beautiful, encouraging psalm, I find myself totally rocking out to my lungs expand with praise, I live and breathe God, but then squirming a little bit at the kind of judgy, not to mention politically incorrect, the wicked commit slow suicide. They waste their lives hating the good. But I'm not interested in going cherry picking with you all this summer in order to breathe easy with the Psalms, because you know what? Even on the most beautiful of summer days, you can only breathe easy for so long before someone on social media shares an article about the suffocating horrors of this world. You can only breathe easy for so long before you start to wonder whether the fresh air beside that lake you love is actually filling up with invisible chemicals from that factory on the other side of the trees. You can only breathe so easy and for so long before whatever guilt or shame you carry, the kind of guilt and shame we all carry, wafts through the trees right past your breezy novel cover and still finds you even inside the cocoon of your hammock. The person who is trying to sell you an all-inclusive trip to Mexico or a backyard pool or a new set of Adirondack chairs might be telling you that your good money can buy you a summer of breathing easy. But I think most of us, when we're being honest, know that you can only breathe easy for so long on this earth. The Psalms may echo us in our most ecstatic moments and encourage us on our darkest days, but they're not in the business of trying to sell us an all-inclusive vacation. Rather, they are in the business of being all-inclusive about life as we really live it. Really real life, which can be filled with ecstasy, but also horror. Effusive praise for God, but also deep, deep anger at those who abuse us and the innocents of the world. The Psalms may make us uncomfortable, but even in their discomfort, they meet us right here in real life. So, having dispensed with the temptation to call this sermon series Breathing Easy, a summer with the Psalms, I want to invite you to a more honestly named series, Fresh Air, a summer with the Psalms. Because in a world trying to gloss over pain by encouraging us to buy its distractions, distractions that never end up working, honest words about the dirt and muck of life are fresh air. And in a world that would often rather be sarcastic and ironic and play it cool than vulnerably shout out with joy about the true things that are good and life-giving, honest words about joy are fresh air in this world. How do we access this fresh air? Well, one way I'm convinced is by reading the Psalms, carefully paying attention to which ones provide us with the fresh air we need in each particular moment. Now, I know full well that many of us grow up hearing all kinds of promises about the Bible that didn't always pan out, that we could just open it up to something like the Psalms, especially the Psalms, and immediately our wounds would be healed and our souls would be saved. Well, I've learned the hard way, and maybe you have too, that the Psalms aren't easy that way either. For most of us, opening the window to access their fresh air takes some practice. And so I've scheduled some practices for us this summer, weekly, and if you want them, daily exercises. Now, let me be clear. No one's going to be looking in your windows to make sure you do any of the daily exercises I mentioned. We're not going to be taking attendance here to see who's here for the weekly exercises. I can already tell you my attendance record won't be perfect this summer. But please, truly figure out what level of involvement in this fits you where you're at right now. For the next two Sundays, I'll suggest a process that I think might help us to inhale the Psalms by catching our breath in honest lament and exhaling the Psalms in audacious hope. After that, we'll get some fresh perspectives on the Psalms, including two different perspectives on Psalm 139 in particular, from guest speakers Patty Evans, Bev Miller, and Melanie Springer-Mock. Before we resume talking about things like how the Psalms are actually kind of subversive, and what it might have looked like to breathe the Psalms if you were an early Anabaptist on death row. And in the midst of that, we'll also join our brothers and sisters for a service in the Fresh Air Worship Service at Timberland Park. It's all on the, if you're looking this up, it's all on this orange insert here on the front side. I'd like you to push yourselves a little As we go through this, I'd like you to push yourselves a little, as one does when one is committed to something, but the last thing I want is for any part of this to feel like an obligation. So as I talk also about daily exercises, remember that obligation-filled air is not fresh air either. So whatever level of exercise you're ready for here, here are some other options. The back of that sheet includes a summer reading list. If reading is how you deepen your relationship with God in Scripture, check out the options there. I'm occasionally even going to mix up the list here, so there will be some new titles from time to time. And as part of our Sunday morning exercises, we're going to try to chant the Psalms each Sunday. In fact, Phil's going to lead you in that exercise right after I'm done. For some of you, this is going to feel very, shall I say, un-Mennonite. So let me say, don't worry, I'm not trying to replace four-part harmony with Gregorian chants long-term, but I wanted to do something that allows us to immerse, to truly soak ourselves in the words and sounds of the Psalms. I wanted us to do something that helps us pay attention to our breathing as we read the Psalms, because I want us to think of the Psalms as something that helps us to breathe the right way, as something we inhale to think honestly, and it's something we exhale to speak honestly, but also hopefully. And in doing both of those things, I hope we'll set a foundation for what we might call mindful reading. Letting yourself feel and think whatever you naturally feel and think as you go through the psalm. Noticing those thoughts, feelings about yourself in the psalm without any judgment. Just noticing them. And then simply slipping back into the stream of breathing the psalm. Before we do that, though, I'm going to mention one more thing, the daily exercises. That's the pink sheet in your bulletin. I want to invite you to consider a daily breathing exercise. There's a psalm for each day of the week on here. Each week it'll be new. It's based on the Sunday that we've just done. The psalms are loosely related to that Sunday, and then they'll go up to the Saturday before the next service. You may want to read this by yourself. You might want to read it as a family or with friends. Maybe you make sure you do it by scheduling it before breakfast every week or after dinner. A new one of these will be in here every week. And if you'd really like to immerse yourself in each psalm, there's even a breathing exercise you might want to follow and try as you do it. See if that helps you to breathe the psalms to absorb them in a more meaningful way. So, in summary, fresh air with the Psalms this summer will look like this. One, every Sunday, a worship service focused on at least one psalm and something we can take from it or from the Psalms in general. Two, every Sunday, we're going to chant the Sunday's psalm before and after the sermon, or just after the sermon today, as a way of trying to breathe it, to experience it in a mindful way. If you're a reader, check out one of the books on the back of the orange sheet. And finally, consider making one of your summer practices the daily reading and breathing of the Psalms on the daily breathing exercises insert each week. Let's pray. Jesus, this world can fill our lungs with joy, and it can suffocate us with despair. As we enter into our summer with the Psalms, help each of us find there whatever fresh air it is we need most. Where we need to sing with embarrassing levels of enthusiasm, help us to find it there. Where we need words of incredible hope, help us to find them there. Where we need to rage impolitely, help us even to find that there. Where we need to lament, help us to find it there. And where we want to plead with you to rise up and keep your promises to us, help us to find that there too. As we enter into our summer worship together, Lord, breathe into us your fresh air, that in a world that never allows us to breathe easy for long, we might continue to still breathe with you. Amen.